Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest in the studio via telephone is a dear friend, Eric Yotis. He and his wife, Beth, have been missionaries in Ukraine since 1995. And Eric, you correct me if I misstate anything.
I'll do that.
Okay. He has had to come back. He and Beth have had to come back to the States recently because their missions organization ordered them back to the States because of the very unsafe situation in Ukraine. And of course, in the days that followed, it became evident that Mr. Putin's intentions were not just to try and negotiate anything. Putin has made it very clear that he wants to replace the government of Ukraine with one that will be a puppet of his Russia. And I say his Russia because there are a whole lot of Russians, including a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ in Russia, who are very horrified at what Putin has done and is seeking to do. So we need to continue to pray for that region, but I thought it would be helpful to have someone who has lived there for a long time, knows the culture very well, has been used by the Lord to plant churches in Ukraine and disciple other believers in Ukraine. And Eric, I want to thank you for taking time right now as you're journeying out to some of the churches that support you on the West Coast. Stopping and talking with me at my request. Thank you, brother.
You bet. I'm glad you called.
Now, again, you and Beth landed in Ukraine as a place God had called you to back in 1995. Is that right?
That is correct. In 1995, we moved to eastern Ukraine, the eastern side where Donetsk is. We lived in Donetsk. Now we lived there almost 20 years, 19 years, mm-hmm. and then the war of Russian aggression began, as we all remember.
Yes.
And we had to flee that war. And we took some time off, but took about 11 months off, married off our daughter.
Yes.
And then we're able to come back to Ukraine to work with the Baptist Union administration, basically helping them in their church planting efforts throughout Ukraine.
And you have been there since then until now, just a matter really of a month or so ago.
Yes, we moved back to Ukraine to the capital area in May of 2015, mm-hmm. and got right to work there, began actually learning Ukrainian at the time, because before then we had really only used Russian, mm-hmm. and had no use for Ukrainian on the east side of Ukraine.
Yes.
But so we began that and began working with our the union leadership there and traveling throughout Ukraine to get a reading on the spiritual, the evangelistic, the church planting and missional, basically missional situation of the country as a whole. Mm-hmm. As you remember, we only worked in two provinces before then, so we didn't mm-hmm. know Ukraine in its entirety other than having driven through it to get somewhere else. We were there in Lugansk and Donetsk Oblast or provinces, and it was there that we ministered in as I don't want to say luck, but as fate would have it, or as it would be, those are the two provinces that that Putin has stirred up trouble.
Yes.
The thing to remember is that because this whole war is predicated on on lies.
Yes.
It was propagated by the father of lies, and it's being carried out by the brother of lies,
yes.
The person who is currently often being called not Putin in Ukraine, but Putler.
Yes.
And so the idea that in eastern Ukraine, Russian-speaking people were being persecuted, that Ukraine was going to wipe them out, or that because of their ethnic or religious roots and the Russian Orthodox Church, that they were in grave danger. This is, of course, just an outright lie. I lived there 19 years. Not a single person was ever persecuted for their Russianness.
Right.
In fact, that would be ridiculous, because only 4% of the population in eastern Ukraine, in Donetsk, where we were, spoke Ukrainian in the home.
Mm-hmm.
4%. So, you know, nobody cared. You know, typically what you see, for example, is that one person talking Ukrainian, the other person speaking Russian, and nobody cared. They understood each other,
sure.
And they could joke and laugh and love. And it was just there's no tension whatsoever until the Russian troops came in and started that. But I think the point of this whole battle this whole war is being lost on the media,
mm-hmm.
and it's being lost on most people that I know, that I talk to. The fact of the matter is that this physical war is simply a manifestation of an even greater spiritual war. There's spiritual warfare going on here, and
yes.
I can explain why. But I think that's the important thing to know as you look at what's going on. You can throw away, you can even not watch most of the news that you see and just understand that this is a spiritual warfare that's going on.
Amen. Now, Putin in Russia has sided with the Russian Orthodox Church because he knows that the Russian Orthodox Church, which is not at all friendly to evangelism or to evangelicals, he knows that that was a powerful ally of the Tsar's in trying to
yeah.
keep the people in line. And it's unfortunately, there are certainly believers in the Russian Orthodox Church, but there are a whole lot of unbelievers in the Russian Orthodox Church, very corrupt individuals, and they have welcomed Putin's allegiance in terms of making them the official church, but to the exclusion of evangelicals. It's made our brothers and sisters in Russia who are not a part of Russian Orthodoxy, but who love Jesus and preach the gospel, it's made them a persecuted minority.
It's difficult to know who sided with who. Both of them are extremely corrupt.
Yes.
And when you see priests and patriarchs blessing men to go into a battle, to go into warfare where they're going to be the aggressors,
right.
against a country that has never, ever, in my understanding of history and my reading of it, Ukraine has never tried to take over any other country.
Right.
And yet we're seeing yet another example of yet another power trying to take them over.
Yes. Now, why is Ukraine such a prize? What kind of natural resources do they have? What kind of energy resources do they have that would make them so crucial that Putin cannot stand for them to have a government that isn't his puppet?
Oh my goodness! Well, it's really amazing. Why would all the surrounding countries want to take over Ukraine throughout the centuries, and yet Ukraine is so satisfied just to be staying there and not take over anybody else's? So
mm-hmm.
I hear your question, and it's a good one. But there's all kinds of things. We got titanium. We have I forget how many billion metric whatevers of shale gas, you know, and oil. We have about a 25 to 35% of the world's black soil,
mm-hmm.
the best growing soil in the world, really.
Absolutely.
And I mean, during World War II, Germany was literally loading up trains of our soil and taking it over to Germany.
Yeah.
That's how precious this soil is. And Ukraine feeds the amount of food that they grow is enough to feed 660 million people a year. I just saw this statistic. I can't vouch for its verification, but certainly when you have a country that is growing so much wheat, so many metric tons is exporting. Now, you see, they're full of resources and full of wonderful land, but there's something even, I think, that's greater about Ukraine on a more spiritual basis that is making them well, a pain in the keisters, if I can use that expression on the radio, whatever, or in this format, for spiritual battle.
Yeah.
And here's the long and the short of it. Ukraine, with its only 2-3% evangelicals, has been a bastion of the gospel in both and has become increasingly so in these days, these last number of years. We're seeing more people come to know Christ as Savior. We're seeing people, more people discipled. We're seeing more churches being started and more missionaries being sent than ever before. There has definitely been a light on in Ukraine, and a light set forth that has been evangelizing that area of the world, kind of creating a base of operations for fulfilling the Great Commission to that part of the world where Americans can't go.
Yes.
In fact, if you go to Russia, and I'm sure you probably have, if you've been to Russia and you've seen wherever about 19 out of 20 times when you go and you find an evangelical church or a maybe just a small group studying the Bible, anything like that, you're going to find that it was started by a Ukrainian who was either exiled there or he was sent there by his business or just himself wanting to go and be a light in the darkness. And so they go and they take their faith with them, their cultural priorities, their cultural values of hospitality and helping others are perfect, because when they find Christ and they find what a wonderful difference it makes in their life, they're filled with joy. They want others to share that also.
Amen.
And that's, a lot of times they're just perfect for fulfilling the Great Commissioning and getting out there and telling others about Christ.
And that is why the enemy wants to shut it down, wants to bring in a regime that's going to use Russian Orthodoxy as a cudgel in order to stop the evangelicals from spreading the good news. Now,
absolutely.
There are, again, I want to clarify for our listeners, there are people in the Eastern Orthodox Church who love Jesus, believe the Bible, and welcome other folks preaching the gospel. But they are a minority. It's sort of like the members of my family who speak Chinese. you're going to have to look real hard. The fact of the matter is, God has been doing a tremendous work in Ukraine. I've been there several times, the first time to do evangelism, the second time to follow up with training pastors who had not had an opportunity to go to seminary. Now there's a wonderful seminary in Kyiv. There are wonderful missions organizations doing tremendous work, and the enemy is not happy with this. When the church is growing and doing well, persecution follows. And right now that persecution is coming through Mr. Putin. One of the arguments that's being used to try and make what he's doing seem less heinous is, and he, of course, is advancing this himself, but so are some people on the political right in America, saying that actually Ukraine is a place that has horrible corruption, child trafficking, money laundering, just all kinds of wickedness. And I've been asked, because of my connections there, is it true that there's child trafficking and corruption and so forth? And my answer is yes, but not nearly as much as in Russia.
Absolutely.
All those things exist. They're bad. And, of course, the Christians are working to change that, as are some non-Christians who just have a certain level of decency. But the amount of corruption in Ukraine pales in comparison to the corruption in Russia. And so, and I don't say that against the Russian people. I say that in terms of Putin's government, which has been just not only corrupt, but hideously violent and brutal in seeking to stifle any opposition, anybody who has a difference of opinion. I am so thankful that thousands and thousands and thousands of Russians have taken to the streets, have publicly denounced what Putin is doing, and of course, several thousand that we know of have been arrested.
And we need to pray for them, really.
Yeah, because, I mean, they've taken a bold stand knowing that the price could be their lives. And yet, they've done that. So this is not at all a salvo against the Russian people. Some of the people who are contacting me to say how distressed they are Russians. But I do want folks who are, it's like, man, I don't know who's who, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy. I don't think there's any justification for Putin going in and invading a neighboring country. But is it true that basically the Ukrainian government is also just this horrible, corrupt thing? No, it's not as bad as the people who are coming in and attacking civilian areas and just trying to totally derail a democratically elected government.
Right, exactly. It's basically, it's all smoke and mirrors to try and justify their own actions and behaviors, trying to get what they want, and which is, you know, obviously more, you know, more of whatever they have, don't have, or have, they want more,
right?
More power, more money, everything else. And just to be get a little perspective, you know, we talked about those who are in Russia. There are many, most of the people in Russia have been kept in the dark. They do not know what is going on. Putin controls the media. Mm-hmm. So most of the people in Russia believe this is still one of those little, you know, regional conflicts like in the Donbass and, you know, eastern Ukraine there. They do not realize that there is a full-on war going on in Ukraine and that they would not receive that.
Yeah.
You know, he got a lot of support first time because it was done with very little violence. You know, we were not in a shape. Ukraine was not in a shape to be able to respond militarily.
Right.
And so their greatest victory was brought to them by the militia that were had, you know, showed up real well there in Ukraine. But so the Russian people, the vast majority do not even know or believe that something is happening as it is happening right now. And if they knew, they'd probably be out on the streets as well. But yep. Putin won't let that out, at least not yet.
Right.
So
let me say a couple of things here before we close. Number one, if, let's say, Mexico aligned itself with Russia, the U.S. would be apoplectic. If Canada aligned itself with communist China, militarily and otherwise, the United States would be absolutely beside itself. I understand why Russia would be uncomfortable with Ukraine saying, hey, we want to be aligned with the West. On the other hand, there's a question as to what you can do about it legitimately. The U.S. has, on occasion, decided we want to bring about regime change in a place that we see as hostile to us, and so we're going to go in there and fix it. That's what we tried to do in Iraq. I'm throwing out arguments because other people are advancing these arguments. Hey, here's why. What about this? Haven't we done the same thing in other situations ourselves? 12 wrongs don't make a right. Not even 2 wrongs make a right. But what Putin is doing right now is based on lies, as Eric said. And as he said also, there is a much bigger game going on. Much bigger stakes involved. This is ultimately not just politics. This is spiritual warfare. And folks, I'm not asking you to send a bunch of money to Ukraine. I'm not asking you to, you know, get your hunting rifle and go to Ukraine. What I'm asking you to do is use the weapons of warfare that God has given to his church. We need to be praying for God to supernaturally intervene, vindicate the gospel, vindicate our brothers and sisters in Christ, protect those who are trusting in him. I've heard wonderful, encouraging reports of miraculous things happening, but we need to be praying. And that is what our brothers and sisters in Ukraine are asking us to do. So this evening, as you listen to this broadcast, I want it to drive you to your knees. I want you to say, Lord, I don't understand everything about what's happening over there, but I do know that you do. And I'm asking you to vindicate truth, to defend your children, to give your angels charge concerning this situation, that they might intervene on behalf of those who are trusting in you. I do not look for God to vindicate the world, to make sure that everybody everywhere, regardless of anything, gets to live happily in peace and prosperity. God said that's not the way it's going to be, and he didn't say that it's going to be easy or comfortable or pleasant for those who are his followers. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. So I'm praying that the gospel is going to continue to go forth with power in Ukraine, and that God's people in Ukraine and God's people who've had to flee Ukraine right now, who are currently living as refugees in the surrounding countries, praying for those folks that God will comfort them and make them keenly aware of his presence. Eric, would you lead us in about a minute of prayer as we close out this broadcast?
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we praise you for your goodness to us every single day, both in the easy times and in the difficult times as well. God, we do pray for Ukraine right now. We pray for it like never before. God, we pray and ask that you would save lives, that you would continue to make yourself known by manifestations of miracles and battlefield miracles that have just been unexplainable and have helped Ukraine in their efforts. God, we pray for those people who are outside of Ukraine having fled the country. God, we pray that in the same way that you scattered Eastern Ukraine into other parts of Ukraine so that they would share the gospel, plant churches, and do everything else, the same way that you scattered the saints of the first century so that they would take the gospel to the othermost parts of the world. God, we ask that you would help the Ukrainians who are now scattering into Europe and beyond, that they would take the gospel with them and light up Europe with a revival.
Yes.
So your holy name would be magnified and honored and glorified, and that your kingdom would be expanded. Lord God, we pray for these things. We pray for all the women and the children in Ukraine and throughout Russia who are losing their sons and their husbands to war. God, we pray for the widows and the orphans that are being newly minted because of a senseless and terrible and tragic war. God, I pray that you would make yourself known and that you would wrap your arms around these people, that they would sense your love and your comfort, that your holy name would be glorified and the body of Christ would step up and minister to the whole person, not just for salvation, although it's so important. God, we want to see people saved because of this, but we want people to be made whole.
Yes.
Spiritually, morally, psychologically, and mostly, God, we want them to have peace with you.
Yes.
We want to know the forgiveness and the joy and that salvation brings.
Yes.
God, we just ask for these things, knowing that you are the most amazing God. What seems impossible for us is never impossible for you. So even now, God, we pray for the soul of Vladimir Putin. We pray, God, that you would save him, that you would not give him rest, that your Holy Spirit would somehow free him from the demons and the devils of hell that are influencing him and working in and around him, God, that you would free him from those things so that he can see your Son, Jesus Christ. And when he sees Jesus, God, we know that everything else will fall into place. Help him to see Jesus and to give his life to you, that these things can be made right. Father God, seems impossible to us as humans, but to your Holy Spirit, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
God, we ask these things knowing that you are good and righteous and just, and we rely on you. Thank you, God, for being with us today. Be with Ukraine in a way that they will be able to sense. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you for listening, and please be in prayer.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.